Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the Law Offices of Thomas Morola. Online at morolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, weekday morning, 6 to 10 on The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Chuck back tomorrow. Ryan Horvath slides over. Adam McAlvey, Mondays at 8 o'clock, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Adam, so much to talk about and trying to figure out where to start. So we'll just start with we'll just start with what we were talking about before.
I hope it's Keston Hira.
Sort of.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's sort of, because what we were talking about was the Travis Shaw home run yesterday. And I know the Brewers, you certainly want Travis Shaw to get going. You want Jesus Aguilar to get going. Those two have been kind of lumped together, because if you're going to bring Hira up, you know, one of those guys, it would be at their expense. Does hitting a home run, did that buy Travis Shaw time? Like, in any way? And I know they'll never say each home run counts five more days that we'll put up with you. But it just felt like for a June home run, I don't know if I've ever seen a home run that felt like as cathartic for the fans and the teammates as I think it did for the player himself yesterday with Travis Shaw.
No, I think you said it exactly right. And it's not like, he put tokens in the machine by hitting a home run and it allows him to play a little bit longer. But he's just got to show that he can drive the baseball. Travis Shaw's value to this team is hitting homers and hitting doubles. And this season, besides having a 170 batting average or whatever it is right now, it's the way he got to that number that has been, that's added to the frustration of everybody involved, that it's just been, it's not been loud outs. It's been ground balls, strikeouts, obviously. And he's just got to show he can hit the ball in the air and drive the baseball, because that's where his value is. And I think that's why it was a good thing for him yesterday. But, you know, as he himself pointed out after the game, that doesn't solve it. He went 1-for-4 yesterday. He kind of had a hit taken away by the shift. He probably would have been a base hit in there pre-shift. But look, he's got to do it. He's got to have some games where it's like 3-for-4 with a homer. And he's not had those games yet. Mark Attanasio was in town the last couple of days. You can be sure that part of the conversation between Stearns, Attanasio, and Craig Counsell is this situation with Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar and what they're going to do about it. The clock's ticking. There's no other way to put it. And everyone is asking, when is Keston Hira going to be up? When is Keston Hira going to be up? I don't know. Again, if I knew, I would not keep it to myself. But the only thing I can say is it feels like it's soon, because with both of those guys going bad, we're coming up on 81 games now. I think they are getting to the point where they're going to have to say, this guy is going too good at AAA. We have players not producing at the major league level. We got to make him. I mean, we're halfway through the season, got to make a move. And I think they are nearing that. And I would think after this homestand, we have a pretty good chance of getting our answers, unless those guys just go off in the next six games.
Can you see the Brewers adding another bat before the deadline? I mean, obviously you don't even have a spot right now for Keston Hira, who's arguably probably one of the better hitters on the team already, you know, with just a small sample size. Do you think they add another bat, or is it just going to be all about pitching if they do make a move before the deadline?
Well, with David Stearns, I always have a hard time saying no to a question like that, because he'll surprise you with a move that you just absolutely did not see coming. So I'm not going to say no, but I just would say that I think the pitching need is so much more acute in both starting and relief. And it is so costly to go out and get pitchers in terms of the prospects you have to give up, even for a reliever. I mean, think about getting Soria last year. The cost was Cody Medeiros, who is a pretty top prospect for the Brewers. So I would say that it's far, far more likely that they add a notable pitcher than they add a notable bat. And like you said, I'm not, you know, where do you look to add would be the question, because I think the areas where you would look to add, you've got internal options in Hira and Dubon, who's, you know, Dubon's benefit is that he's really versatile and he's having a really good year. We'd be talking a lot more about him if Keston Hira weren't such a topic of conversation. So I think that for a bat, they're better set to promote from within than on the pitching side. On the pitching side, just to talk about that for a minute, I asked Stearns this yesterday or 2 days ago. You know, they went into the year and they always think about depth. Everyone gets tired of hearing about depth, but then it comes into play, so it's important. And they went into the year with, what, 7, 8 starters, 9 maybe, that they felt like they're comfortable giving major league starts to. Well, they've sort of exhausted that. I mean, they've given starts now to look at the number. I don't know what the number is, but it's got to be up there near 9 that the different pitchers have made a start for this team. They're going with Hauser again on Wednesday and at least one beyond that. I mean, they've sort of gone through what they have for internal options. And because Burns didn't work out, because Peralta didn't work out and Jimmy Nelson didn't work out, they've stretched that depth. And I think that is also a factor now as David Stearns, you know, what, 5 weeks to go before the trade deadline, as he starts to look at what they need. So pitching is definitely the need, if you ask me.
Right, and all the names that we hear, obviously the bigger names, Bumgarner, Marcus Stroman, even Mike Minor, Matthew Boyd from the Tigers also up there. But is there anybody else, like, under the radar that we should be looking at? Like, for example, Marco Gonzalez. I mean, obviously the Mariners probably going to be sellers at the deadline. Any names, like, we should be looking at?
Well, no, I mean, that's a great one. And I think GMs now are looking for players that are controllable beyond the 2 months. So like the CC Sabathia trade was an obvious rental. I think GMs now are more interested in players that are available for more than that. And I think GMs that have players like that are more open to trading them because they can get better players in return. And I think, conversely, the GMs trying to get those pitchers are more willing to give up good prospects because they know they're getting control. So there's, to me, a more openness to trade players that you can get for a year and a half, say. And that makes it really hard to narrow a list because, under the radar, I would just say, look at the teams that are in sell position and look at the rotation and see if there's anybody you'd like. And I think that you can have a discussion about a lot of those pitchers because of this new sort of landscape where guys like that get traded, where maybe they were less likely to get traded before. So that's a total dodge, but I just think that the list of available players, that's how the Brewers kind of look at this and how their pro scouts look at what are the possibilities. I think they're more open than they were in the past.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, and the Brewers are at a point now where it is sort of fly by the seat of their pants here because they had a lot of things that they had planned not working out. They've already had to go get Gio Gonzalez, and then he gets injured. Corbin Burns was a guy I think that they thought would be getting them good innings as a starter at this point in the season. He gets sent down again, and I was chatting with him on Friday, so I probably jinxed his, weekend. But I was chatting with him on Friday, and I wonder what going to the bullpen does for these guys that go back and forth like this. When you're a starter, what I've been saying is I want you to be a starter. So if you're not going to start like a Brandon Woodruff, I didn't like when they put him in the pen then. I would rather they start in the minor leagues. Freddy Peralta may be the same way. Corbin Burns, I don't know, maybe you do what the situation is going to be. When you talk to these guys, is that as big of a leap as I think it is? Because Corbin really, I don't think he was just giving me like the, I just, whatever they think I'll do sort of stuff.
Yeah, but
I don't like to see, and I don't like to see them go back and forth like that.
Well, look, I mean that, I would say it's probably different for every pitcher. Right now, baseball is a game of positional versatility. You see that with position players, Ben Zobrist was the model. Everybody wants their own Ben Zobrist. And now teams all have their own Ben Zobrist, and guys are able to move from position to position. Mike Moustakas, longtime third baseman, he moves to second, no big deal, and he has an all-star season. And I think the same is true of pitchers. I think there's an expectation that teams are going to be flexible with roles, more flexible than they were in the past, when there was a more clear line drawn between starters and relievers. And I think most guys just want to be in the big leagues. And, you know, even Corbin Burnes, he clearly wants to be a major league starter, thinks of himself as a major league starter. And if I'm a betting man, my money is on him being a really, really good major league starter. This season, he's not a really good major league starter, and they moved him around. And I think most guys are able to cope with that. And you just want to be in the big leagues, and you just want to get outs where they ask you to get outs. It is a little bit of a challenge going back and forth. I mean, we're going to see Jimmy Nelson now have to figure out relief, which is going to be really interesting given how routine-oriented he is. But I think most guys are able to adapt to that, and a desire to be in the big leagues trumps whatever role they have a desire to fill. And sometimes that means bouncing back and forth.
Right, you're going to see that with Jimmy and then Adrian. So it's like, it's really interesting because with Jimmy Nelson, he's not going to the bullpen because he's going to help the bullpen. He's going there because he can't get it done as a starter. And then with Adrian Hauser, you finally find, like, this could be our setup guy. This could be like the Corey Knebel of last year. But we need you to start now. So it's just like, it's just a lot of patchwork from this team, and I don't know how long that can be sustainable.
Well, I would just say that is probably, there's 30 conversations like this happening around the country. That's what baseball is. That's what 162 games is. It's a patchwork for everybody. Rare is the team that sets its rotation and then rolls through a season. There's always going to be movement, I think, up and down from the minors and majors and back and forth from the bullpen to start. I mean, look at the 82 Brewers. They had that going on. There were guys that were bouncing back and forth. Jim Slayton did a lot of that, and all kinds of, there's all kinds of examples in Brewers history of that happening. Does it impact a player's performance? That's a legit question. And that's why I say, I think it depends from guy to guy. And in terms of Adrian Hauser, I did ask Craig Counsell yesterday, is this move going to, cost you in the pen? Because there's questions out there, and Adrian Hauser was a real stabilizing force. And he said, well, he's pitching well, so yeah, but right now we need a starter. And this is a chance for Hauser to give them more innings, probably, as a starter, if he sticks in that role, than he is in the pen. The other thing is, they've got kind of two lined up, and then they've got Gio Gonzalez coming back right before the break. So maybe if Gio comes back and is able to stabilize things coming out of the break like he did when he first signed, that could give you an opportunity to move Hauser back. Now, this is exactly what you said you don't like, but I think there's a possibility of that happening.
Adam, obviously, I think the biggest move of the offseason was just bringing back Mike Moustakas, on pace to set career highs for on-base percentage, slugging percentage, homers. He's just on fire right now. How much money do you think he earned himself? Do the Brewers have a shot at bringing him back? And also, what do you notice different, from him this season? Obviously, a full season playing at Miller Park probably helps. Also, playing for a big contract, I guess, probably helps. But what do you notice him doing differently? He's just on fire this year.
No, I think your thought about a full season, just being grounded with a team, and that's why he took that one-year deal pretty early in spring training, is just to get grounded and not wait and not find himself signing late or going someplace he, didn't necessarily want to go. He went to familiar surroundings with a team that's competitive, playing for a division, and I think that's shown up in the results that he's gotten. I don't think there were big swing changes or anything like that at this stage of his career to get him to these results. In terms of what contract he's going to get, I mean, good luck trying to figure that out. I thought he was going to get $100 million 2 years ago,
right,
two winters ago, because he certainly was a player that, if you look at his track record and who he is as a guy and all those factors, that should have got that kind of a contract. He didn't get it. Then he goes, okay, weird off season. He tries it again last winter. I don't know if he's going to get $100 million last winter, but I think he's going to get, multi-year deal and 60 or mm-hmm. something like that. And here he is back on a one-year $10 million contract. So I don't know. It's hard to figure out sometimes what the GMs are valuing. There's things in Mike Moustakas' game. He's maybe a little more of an old school player, it's batting average, homers, and RBIs. And there's just more there's deeper stats that the GMs are looking at now. But I mean, Moustakas gives you good, pretty good defense. He's a really hard guy to figure out. And even after this production, I have a really hard time saying with certainty, okay, he's going to go out and get $50 million next winter. Because
I mean, switch positions and he's going to be an all-star.
Weird. Right.
Yeah, and he's I think he's played the position pretty well. Some Sabre defensive ratings came out today that are part of the formula to determine gold gloves. I tweeted it out if people are interested. I was interested to see where Lorenzo Cain is at because he's going for that first gold glove and he's got so much momentum now towards that. But I was, you know, Moustakas is like middle of the pack of second baseman, which I think you'd take given you just moved in there. He's been fine on double plays. He had that really slick play up the middle with Arcia where he flipped to Arcia and they completed a big out to get out of a first inning the other day. I think he's made the plays there and been pretty good. And I mean, you guys know this doesn't show in the stat sheet, but just clubhouse guy is as a clubhouse guy, he's top notch. So he's got all the ingredients of a player that should get a nice multi-year deal. And he's just not got it over the last couple of winters in this new era where anybody with an age that starts with a 3 is, you know, GM stay away from.
I hate to even say it, but with the way he's performing, if you are able to bring him back and you know you can, and let's say the Nationals do end up being sellers at the deadline or the Mets and you could get a big name, let's just throw Scherzer out there. Would you maybe think about packaging Kesson Hira because Moustakas has been so damn good, he could be your future at second base? Or no, is that just crazy talk?
No, look, I am not in the camp that thinks Kesson Hira is off limits. I mean, this is going to drive people insane, but if you think the Brewers need a big-time starter and you think that the conversation is not going to get stuck on Kesson Hira, I don't think you know very much about negotiations, trade negotiations. If you're a team that has a starting pitcher, a Boyd, Scherzer I don't think is going to get dealt, but a Bumgarner, I mean, that conversation starts with Kesson Hira. And when the Brewers say, oh, well, we have Corey Ray and, you know, Freddie Peralta, I think you say, oh, that's very good. I think you should, you know, call them up to the big leagues and let them play. Mm-hmm. We want Kesson Hira. And I think those talks are all going to get stuck because everybody obviously is going to want that player. And that's going to be a challenge. He's just clearly the cream of their minor league crop, number one by far. So I don't know. To me, that's one of the biggest challenges facing David Stearns. And if you're a Brewers fan who says go trade for a starter and you don't acknowledge the fact that Kesson Hira might be part of that, I think you're making a mistake because he's got to be close to off limits and it would have to take a hell of a trade to make something happen. But I don't know that David Stearns qualifies players as totally off limits. He is, at, you know, this word again, agnostic about making transactions. And if you want to make an impact move, that might be it. That's just my opinion on it. I don't know 100% how those conversations have gone, but that's just my guess.
Has he looked, when you've talked to him, has he looked into trading all his bad players for good ones?
That is a really good idea, Bart. And, you know, I haven't specifically asked that, but I will forward. You know, I think actually,
we'll get him on. I'll ask him that one. I'll do that one.
I think that instead of everybody tweeting at me that they should call up Kesson Hira, which is impacting my mental health, I would suggest a letter writing campaign, a good old fashioned letter writing campaign. Miller Park, his address is very easy. One Brewer's Way. Send a letter and say you think they should call up Kesson Hira and save the time it takes to write me that message. That would be fantastic.
Adam, appreciate it. We will talk to you at the ballpark.
See you guys.
Adam McKelvey joining us again. You can find him on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. He's all over the place. He is at Adam McKelvey. That's his name. That's where you can find him. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Yeah, just trade your bad players for good ones.
Yeah, always seems like a good idea, right?
Shaw, Zeus and Jimmy.
Bring in
or Scherzer and Juan Soto.
Who says no?
who says no?
Right?
Who says no? It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Ryan Horvath. Chuck back tomorrow. We may even go way back tomorrow if Giannis wins the MVP. The awards are being announced tonight. The NBA awards were voted on after the season, but they hold them all the way through the postseason. So now, if Giannis walks across that stage tonight, it's going to be like, well, yeah, but, I mean, Kawhi's the best player in the league.
Yeah, I don't like it. I like the way that they used to do it. Also, it was always like a cool added storyline, like when Karl Malone won it over Jordan, then they played in the finals, and it was like, oh, Jordan was dethroned, but we all know who the real MVP is, and then there's that added motivation. Like, you know, we had the Kevin Durant the year that he won it. It's just, I think that it should be probably conference finals tops, wouldn't you say? Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals.
For when they announce it?
Yeah, for when they announce it. Or right after the regular season.
It certainly shouldn't be after the draft for the next year's season.
Like, I see what they're doing now because all these award shows, like, it's extra revenue and you can make it a bigger deal. Like, the NFL started to do it and, you know, it's a decent show. I don't watch it personally. I always, like, catch the clips the next day, like, to see Rodgers and Favre share a moment. And I'm like, oh, that was cute, but I'm not going
to
sit
here. Well, the NFL does it the night before the Super Bowl because everybody goes to the Super Bowl to hawk, you know, boner pills and supplements. And then, you know, like Bill Romanowski's selling cream that you're
and I'm like, how is Bill Romanowski not in prison? That's like always my question. Every Super Bowl, when he's like on every outlet, I'm like, how is Bill Romanowski not in jail? Like, shout out to Bill Romanowski, like steroids, like other things.
Well, this year I think he was actually selling like bubble tea.
What's that?
Or something. It's tea with like little berries in it or something.
High tea or low tea?
Different, like, drink tea.
Oh, I thought he was just selling his testosterone.
drink tea.
Super Bowl weekend is great because you're always like, oh my God, that guy's still alive. Like, Jason Caffey, holy cow, what's he doing at the Super Bowl? Okay, cool. Okay, awesome. Emmett Smith, what's up? Haven't seen you in a while. You know, like, that's why I like the Super Bowl. I always wonder, like, does every former NFL player just go? Because, like, you always see, like, the former Packers, like, oh, there's Miles White and... You know, you see, like, the weirdest dudes at the Super Bowl. Like, does everybody just have a platform to, like, sell stuff at?
Yeah, because companies will hook up with athletes, but it's always companies that you don't hear from the rest of the year.
Right.
It's always like, hi, I'm Al Toon with Athletics, with, like, three X's at the end.
Yeah,
I'm Al Toon with Athletics. Take this pill and you'll run fast.
Yeah.
Okay, Al, what was it like to be a Jet?
Right.
Oh, great. And what do you think of Sean McVay? Cool. He's good.
Right, exactly. Ken Dorsey
now,
here.
This product, oh, man, it's so juicy.
Exactly, exactly. Vinny Testaverde here.
With Nutrisystem.
Wake up feeling groggy, exhausted. All I got to do is pop a 12-hour energy shot. Not only does it get me through the day, when I get home, I'm ready to hop in bed and show my wife a real time, you know?
Wow.
Willis McGahee here.
Didn't he bust his knees?
Yeah,
didn't he bust both knees?
In the national championship game. Still ended up having a solid NFL career, though. Doug Flutie here. Nah, okay.
Doug Flutie here for Honey Nut Cheerios.
Life getting you down?
Pour a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios. So, yeah, where was I going with that?
I actually have no idea. I was just trying to think of, like, all the former athletes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the NBA awards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Chuck always says that they should include the postseason, which I don't hate.
Well, you get the finals MVP, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are you going to do, like, coach of the postseason? Obviously, it's going to be Nick Nurse.
But then you're going to have a regular... Right. So, it's basically, if you had the MVP go through the postseason, you would just give more awards to the team that won the championship.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe that is bad.
You go, like, rookie of the postseason, and it's Dante DiVincenzo for his towel wave because no rookies get any run.
Yeah.
You know?
But if you're going to do it as a regular season award, just announce it after the regular season. So where I was going with that is if and should Giannis win the MVP, for the last 3 years, you may have heard us reference this, Chuck and I made a bet years ago, and he gave me 5-1 odds that if Giannis ever wins an MVP, he will end up paying me $500, and then I would owe him $100 if Giannis, you know, never won an MVP. And we're going to revisit that conversation that we had in April of, I believe, 2016. incredible foresight by me. Uh-huh. If you're gonna spend time and dig through my old tweets and see the tweet where I said cut Davante Adams after he had 6 drops in a preseason game.
A lot of people were saying that, by the
way,
too.
If you're gonna spend time on that one, look at my Giannis will win an MVP someday tweet and give me a little shine for that one. But we had that conversation when Mike Wickett was a part of the show. He is now in Kansas City. We're going to replay that conversation, and I've invited Mike to come back to listen to it for the first time since, and then he also has to owe me some money, which I'm assuming he will talk his way out of.
Toy drive, right?
He'll say, I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you, the toy drive instead.
What inspired this bet? Like, what did Giannis, was it like a particular game? Do you remember what he did that, like, you were like, he's going to win
an
MVP?
We'll play it back tomorrow.
Okay.
But it was one tweet that a guy said, who would you rather have right now, Durant or Giannis? And then I was saying, you guys, yeah, Durant, you take Durant, and maybe still.
Right.
But I said, you don't think Giannis can be at Durant's level someday? Absolutely not. Durant's a top 50 player. I said, Giannis can be top 100. He could win an MVP. And then we fought, and then they belittled me. And you really hear it. We'll do it at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Should Giannis win the MVP, we'll bring Wicket back tomorrow at 8 for a little bit.
I can't wait until Aaron Rodgers wins the MVP this season, and I get to do the same to everybody at the station.
No, but I'm with you.
Yeah, you're back on the bandwagon.
Yeah, if you missed Friday's show, we one lost the Packers schedule. So what did we go with? I went 10-6.
You went 10-6, which was actually kind of depressing. And the way that you did it, at one point they were like 3-5 too.
Yeah,
and then they
go
on this run. Right, of course. Because the Rodgers slogan.
Yeah, Rodgers.
We make t-shirts. Yep.
Yeah.
I had them at, what did I have? 12-4.
I think 17-0. They're going to play. They're going to win the bye week somehow.
They're going to beat the 72 Dolphins for the Super Bowl.
On Horvath's schedule.
Hi, Bob Greasy here. No, sorry.
So we'll do that coming up tomorrow, assuming Giannis wins the MVP tonight. We're actually banking on that. Otherwise, I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow night.
Would it be the biggest disappointment of your life if let's say we get to the award show and they're like, and the winner of the 2019 NBA MVP, Paul George.
not even Harden.
Yeah.
So not even Harden, so we can't have that back and forth conversation. It's just Paul George.
Yeah.
Because like the votes split on Harden and Greek Freaks.
Like, well, he did lead OKC to that 5 seed.
Yeah, but it is weird because it's kind of like if you see Giannis cross the stage tonight, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's right. The Bucks blew it against the Raptors. That sucked.
He could be a freak on the court and on the shits, you know what I'm saying?
So that's coming up tonight, and we'll revisit that tomorrow. A couple of people have been tweeting at us asking if we are going to spend any time on a video that Bill Michaels of the Bill Michaels Show posted to social media yesterday, where he was sitting in the crowd at the Brewer game and took like 5 minutes unedited of what he saw. And Bill's argument was that he saw nothing because there's people getting up and forth. Bill can take care of that one. Just as I wouldn't want Bill to start his show talking about all my tweets on Friday night.
Right.
I'm not gonna dig in to Bill until he puts it out there, and then I'll be willing to talk to him about it.
At Bill Michaels, did you see that
_Michaels?
Did you see that moron Winkler have a meltdown on Twitter this weekend? As a matter of fact, I did.
He's a weirdo.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Don't even like the guy. Wasn't even invited to my wedding.
I heard he was getting the show before me, and I thought, oh, there goes my ratings. He'll tank me.
Bill looks at Bart as like, when you bring, it's like when the hot girl brings the duff to the bar, you know, because it makes her look like a 10, even if she's only like an 8. That's Bill's like, I love the morning show because they make me look like Colin Cowherd.
Yeah, because those two are fighting and go off the handle all the time. All I got to do is talk about the Packers and I'm good to go.
Boom.
But I think Bill might be the same thing Chuck's at today.
So
he might
golfing?
Get Tim Allen today.
So we're the only ones not golfing today? You, me, Tim Allen, and Heffelfinger?
I think so, yeah.
Is this like a station thing, or is this?
No, this is like a, I don't know what it is.
Man, Chuck plays more golf than anybody on this planet. I was talking about Michael Jordan, how he used to play 36 holes before a game, which was outrageous. I think Freems plays like, what did he tell me? Something ridiculous. He played like 72 holes one weekend. And you look at the selfies, man, and he is like drenched in sweat. He looks like Patrick Ewing just got done playing like a double overtime game. Like,
I'm Chuck Freeman.
Covered in sweat. My man loves golf more than anything on this planet.
I don't even want to go to the driving range and get a small pack of balls because, like, then my back hurts. And then mm-hmm. Every time I get a bag of balls to hit,
yeah.
Then I just want to get it over with.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just chucking, you know, and I'm not, like, taking time on my game.
Mm-hmm.
I always think I'm gonna settle down with 75 balls and really work on my game. And then by ball 20, I just go boom, 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 boom.
And frames, I hear you, player.
Thank you.
Frames is so competitive. Remember when I joked around about tying an arm behind my back and playing him one-on-one in basketball? Like, he wouldn't get over it. Like,
you still won't let it go.
Like, I was, like, trying to go to the urinal, and he's like, Corby! Follows me in the bathroom. He's like, you really think you could beat me one-on-one? And I'm like, no, dude, it's okay. I'm just trying to take a leak, okay? Like, let me wash my hands, all right? But so imagine, like, do you think if he's having a bad round, he's just, like, talking crap to Shannon? Or, like, he like, eagles, and he's like, yeah, did you see that one? Or do you think that it's just, like, a fun, like, little, like, date for 36 holes? Or do you think they're, like, competitive with each other?
Every time I've golfed with Chuck, it's been with another person, except mm-hmm. for one time. It was just the two of us. But I was so, like, on edge because I hate when people are around me. So you tee off one and then all of a sudden I duff a ball 100 yards,
mm-hmm.
a bad shot, and then the next group's already there. And now you feel like you're forced to speed up. And
hate that, yeah.
I hate it.
So I'm always just like, play through, and then another group comes in, I'm like, play through, and then I'm like, what am I even doing out here,
so
man?
So my first three holes, if there's like space, I'll just try to go as fast as I can. So then now if I ruin the first three holes, and then I'll have the next 15 where I can just play comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chuck experienced that for the first time. And I was so neurotic that it like totally threw him off his game.
Really?
So he was all mad at me for like getting, not in his head, but like just, I brought a bad energy to the golf cart.
Like, do you think they keep score, like Shannon versus Chuck? Because we know he's competitive. I mean, he met his second wife via softball. And that's really all they had in common for those that, are new to the show. So like, once the softball season was over and they couldn't compete, there was some tension. So like, do you think that they're out there like keeping score and like talking crap to each other, or do you think it's just like a friendly little date, like, oh, good shot, honey?
I don't know. The next time we do Ask Chuck and Winkler anything, you can throw in some Horvat questions.
Write this down
on Wednesday
here, this
7:45, 8:45. It's Chuck and Winkler. We've got a question for you guys, your chance at Summerfest tickets. And then we did it on Friday. Bart and Horvat talk Packers. We're gonna talk some more Packers today just after 9.
Okay.
So, it's, I don't know how much pressure is on them this season, but certain guys are going to feel it more than others. So, we'll get to that at 9 o'clock as well. Chuck and Winkler, Ryan Horvat over for Chuck on the Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat, Evan Heffelfinger. Chuck will be back tomorrow, and so might Mike Wicket. As long as Giannis wins the MVP.
What if he loses?
Then
no
we're
Wicket?
Not even going to talk to him.
Then Rami's coming on, right?
And then Rami. And
to
then,
talk Andrew Wiggins.
And then Peter Brown. To talk Wiggins, yeah. Is he getting traded or what?
I hope so. I hope he gets a fair shot. No, I'm kidding. Andrew Wiggins is a complete bust. What? Remember when it was like, who should you take number one, Andrew Wiggins or Jabari Parker? Remember when it was, who should you take number one, Derrick Rose or Michael Beasley?
Yeah, no, it was Parker, Wiggins, and then it should have been Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Oops. Missed out on that one.
That was one of my worst takes ever. I said Joel Embiid will never play a full season in the NBA, which he probably won't. But like,
yeah, that was a great take.
But he'll give you like 60, 70 games. I thought... I was like on this thing, on this whole kick where I was saying never draft a 7-footer ever again because Greg Oden, they just weren't working out. I was like, man, and it's kind of true. Like this, I wasn't wrong 5 years ago, 6 years ago, because there's really no such thing as the center position anymore. There's rim protectors and then there's bigs.
Gotta have a rim protector.
But all bigs do is just step out and shoot threes now anyway.
You know, Embiid, it's not that he doesn't play back to back games. It's like, You know how a calendar looks?
Yeah.
He only plays like one game per calendar line.
I'll tell you.
Once a week.
Now that we're on this topic really quick, like what are the 76ers doing? Because they are screwing Joel Embiid. Like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid can't play together. Like they just do not want him to have any space whatsoever. So if I'm the 76ers.
Did you call him Joe Embiid?
Joel Embiid. Joel.
I think he said Joe.
Joel. I'll strength the L.
Joe Embiid.
Joe. Joey Embiid. J-Bone. I just, I feel like if anything, he'd be a better fit, Joel Embiid, with Jimmy Butler or Tobias Harris. Like, I'd try to bring those guys back and try to package Ben Simmons. I just don't think they're a good fit. Like, I don't think they could play together whatsoever. Notice how Ben Simmons has his best games when Embiid's not playing and vice versa. I just don't think that they're compatible.
But they're the two that they're locked in on.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. That's why Philadelphia doesn't scare me whatsoever. Like, you could keep surrounding those guys with shooters, and I'm more afraid of Toronto.
When I was watching the draft, and Woj said that Philly was interested in meeting with Kawhi. I mean, that would be...
And Kawhi was like, no.
That would be brutal.
No way. And that's what I'm saying. So, like, through the draft...
Because wherever Kawhi goes, they're the favorite.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Especially with Durant most likely out for the year, Klay Thompson out for the year. But what I'm saying is, like, even in the draft, like, Philadelphia, you need shooters. You're going to lose a lot of your shooters, you know, via free agency. And Ben Simmons can't shoot the rock whatsoever. And you draft Thibel, who's the best, arguably, defender in the draft, but he can't shoot a lick. So I don't know what Philadelphia is going to do. I think that they're going to regress and they're going to get worse. Can't trust Embiid play a whole full season. So, yeah, wherever Kawhi goes, absolutely going to be the favorite.
Well, and I still think at the end of it, it's going to be Toronto.
You think so? Are you sold now on Toronto?
I think he goes back.
One-year deal, or do you think he's going to commit?
Well, that's the issue. If he takes the one, like what Durant did was he signed a quote-unquote two-year deal.
Yeah.
It's a one-year deal with a player option.
Mm-hmm.
And then Durant did that again, I think, and now he's like, okay, I want the max, but then he got hurt. Now, luckily, Durant's so good that someone – it's going to give him the max contract if it's not the Warriors, the Knicks, the Nets, whoever. Somebody's going to be in on that. With Kawhi, do you look at Durant and say, well, I don't want to get hurt. I'd like to lock in for that money. But then you also think, well, Durant did get hurt and he's still going to get that money.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kawhi wants to stay in Toronto, but just not too long. Like, he's not ready to leave, but he doesn't want to commit to it. So
right.
He wants to stay there. The mayor came out of Toronto and said, hey, stop bothering this guy.
I saw that.
Because he went to a Blue Jays game and everyone's like attacking him. And...
The mayor and then the mayor and then the super fan also said it yesterday too.
Nav.
Yeah,
stop talking to him. Let him be like comfortable. Don't ask for his autograph.
Have you ever encountered a pro athlete like when he was out, though, and went up to him and actually said anything? Or do you, like, before you got into the industry or the business, like, did you ever see, like, Jeremy Jeffress out and, like, actually go up to him and say, like, hey, man, you should stay in Milwaukee or anything? Or have you ever had anything happen like that or no?
No.
Really? I ran into Cedric Benson one time at a nightclub. This is a true story.
When he was with Chicago?
Yeah, when he was it was his second year. It was the year after they went to the Super Bowl.
He was great with Green Bay.
It was the year after they went to the Super Bowl.
He was awesome.
They were splitting time between him and Thomas Jones, and they let Thomas Jones walk to go to the Jets. And I saw him in a nightclub, and I was hammered. I was like 22 years old, and I was like, Benson, you're going to have a huge year. I'm a big Packer fan, though. And he just looked at me, and he goes, no doubt, and walked away. And that was pretty much the whole story.
But, I mean, how many times, like, if you see Giannis walking down the street, do you roll down your window, stay here forever?
I think I would.
Well, right. That's why I tell people don't.
But
even,
don't do it. Right.
Don't even tell Giannis to stay, because then that brings up the idea that he could leave.
Right.
Or that it's his choice.
Right.
Make him think it's his fate to be here forever.
Like if Malcolm Brogdon were
someone convinced Giannis that free agency doesn't exist, please.
I don't think Giannis leaves. I think that.
I don't either.
I think Milwaukee's the perfect fit for him. I don't think he'd like the bigger markets. Like you see it even. He's like awkward kind of when TMZ guys come after him. You know, he doesn't want to. I mean, he's rocking Nike sandals with high socks. The guy's not L.A. He's not New York. I think Milwaukee fits him just fine. And then he'll finish his career. He'll go back to Greece, get his own island, and, enjoy his retirement. If I do see Malcolm Brogdon, though, I'm going to beg him to stay in Milwaukee. A lot of my buddies out in Chicago are convinced that Malcolm Brogdon's going to be a Bull. And then I was looking at a lot of these Maverick fan boards lately and message boards, and they're pretty convinced that they're going to throw a lot of money at him, too. Like,
I think someone offers Malcolm 20.
Like an offer that he can't refuse, that the Bucks can't match? What do you think they'd go up to? I know we've had Eric on and Matt on, and they've talked about this in the past, but what do you think, like, honestly? I think he gets, like, 20, 22 million.
I think the Bucks have to match.
I saw somebody saying, like, 18 to 19. I was like, absolutely not. He's going to get way
more.
I don't
know.
He earned himself a lot of money in the playoffs.
I mean, are we still sold that Middleton's back?
Yeah, I think we're pretty sold on Middleton coming back, right? I mean, why would Middleton leave? It's not going to get much better.
What if the Bucks say, eh?
They're not gonna.
Is there any? Well, I mean, all last year it was, yeah, Jabari, we want to keep him. We want to keep him, and then they had no interest in keeping him.
Right, but yeah, and I feel like the red flags were always there for Jabari, though, weren't they? Like, I don't know the guys liked playing with Jabari. I don't think they hated him in the locker room, but I just don't think his style matched Giannis. And we see that all the time, like two alphas. Like, the rumor's always in
like you and me right now.
Right, you and me. But like, there's like different examples, okay? Like growing up watching the Mavericks when Jim Jackson and Jason Kidd were both trying to date Tony Braxton at the same time. Like, those guys hated each other. But then we get into, like, two alphas that just don't want to play together. Like, I don't think Westbrook and Durant towards the end hated each other, but they just both wanted to play with the ball in their hands. Like, Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose, there was rumors that they hated each other in Chicago. I think they're friends off the court. They played together once again in Minnesota. But some guys' games just don't complement each other, and I feel like that was Giannis and Jabari. I think Middleton and Giannis's games, when Middleton's actually knocking down jumpers, do complement each other. And if you're the Bucks, like, and I know people are all over Twitter saying Middleton not worth the max deal, but the problem is then you just regress. Like, you get worse. Like, Philadelphia is going to do this offseason. You're only going to get worse because you're not going to bring over any other free agent. Kawhi's not coming here.
Right, and then Philly gets Middleton, and Middleton all of a sudden puts up 30 a night.
Yeah, I mean, I know that he's probably not worth the max deal, but, I mean, he's a 20-point-per-game scorer that went to his first All-Star game, so he's going to command max money, and if you don't bring him back, you regress. You get worse. Like, if Brogdon doesn't come back, you get worse. You have to run it back.
I'm just saying, is there anything within the Bucks where they're playing a coy that maybe...
Like, they got a plan B?
Yeah, no, I'm just throwing that out there. I think that both parties want to continue this, but I'm just...
I'm not sold Brogdon wants to come back.
I don't think Brogdon wants to come back.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Like, Lopez wants to come back. Where is he going to get it? Although, did you see the reports over the weekend? Lakers interested in bringing back Lopez now, Brook Lopez.
Oh, sure.
So, that kind of scares me a little bit, man, because what LeBron wants, LeBron gets. I went over that stat the other day. He's made, like, 85 trades since he's been in the league.
And Winkler, your Twitter question today to win Summerfest tickets. We're going to go back in time asking you... If you could be in person at any sporting event or game that has ever happened, what would you pick? You settled, Horvat, on the Jordan flu game.
Flu game.
To see,
no,
to
actually,
see
I changed
it,
it,
or
remember?
To find out if he's hungover?
Well, it was a great performance. I changed my answer, though. Remember, I'm going 1988 dunk contest.
Oh, right.
When Jordan took off from the foul line.
Evan, what'd you settle on?
Wilt? I think I settled on the Wilt one, yeah.
Wilt. And I was saying I just want to go to any baseball game in the 1920s to see what it was like, you know, to see if – because this is a time before TV, this is a time before internet.
Did they sell booze back then, do you think, at baseball games, though?
Well, not during Prohibition.
Oh, yeah, duh. Good point.
The booze time.
Yeah.
And I want to go and see, like, did beer vendors walk up and down the aisle and didn't block my view? I want to see how different a game was from today to the 1920s. But then also, like, you know, here in Milwaukee, we tailgate and, you know, we're on our phones. And mm-hmm. then by the time the game's over, everybody knows. But when you're in the 1920s, when, like, do you just get on the train and dress up and go to the game? I'm just more interested in that aspect, I think, than watching an actual moment.
I'd love to be a sports talk host then because nobody could fact check. So I could just be like, yeah, Babe Ruth, you know, terrible day at the plate. He was... 1-for-4, and everybody would be like, eh, he probably was because it wasn't on TV.
Yeah, I have no way to know. I mean, back in the 1930s, some guy got on the radio and did a play about aliens coming, and everybody thought that aliens were coming.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you could say anything.
Right. And people
would
believe
a glorious
you.
Time.
Right.
You'd go unchecked. I could say, yeah, the Packers should cut Davante Adams. Actually, they did. Sure, you know, whatever. You'd
even like
unchecked.
10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, like when hosts would have to bring newspapers and you just read out of the newspaper.
Yeah, just read the paper. Nobody knows. Brian says, I would go see the Packers when they won the Super Bowl over the Steelers. Some Packers Super Bowl ones in here. I think I like the answer that came in that said they want to see the 96 Super Bowl because that's when they saw a Super Bowl as a kid and they would like to see that now through adult eyes. So I thought that was cool. Let's see. JS says, I'd like to see the 71 Bucks championship to see them win a ring. Non-local story, I would like to see Wilt's 100. I would bring a camera to tape it and sell it for money.
That's what it's all about now, man. That's why guys don't like giving autographs anymore because you just sell them on eBay.
I got a hot tip for you. I watch some of these shows. let's say time travel happens and you accidentally wind back in time.
Okay.
Follow me on this.
Okay.
If you ended up right now, 20 years ago in time, you would try to like get yourself out of that situation. You'd have no money to do it because the currency you have today didn't exist back then.
Oh, yeah.
So you always have to keep old money on you.
Well, that's a good point.
Just in case you go back in time.
Like Bill and Ted?
Yeah, which they're coming back too.
I know. No, just a great example of how Hollywood has no original ideas. Everything is just remakes and reboots. For example, like Child's Play.
Yeah.
Comes back out over the weekend. The Chucky doll back. Now it's not even like a demon. It's like a computer.
Chime in. 799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. More on this. We're also going to get into the Packers. That's right. LaFleur. Goody. The other guy.
Goody.
Oh, Rodgers.
Kaiser.
That dynamic and who needs for it to succeed the most. Tim Boyle. Manny Wilkins. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.